Go to the book of 1 Timothy for our study this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, I'll be reading in the New King James Version. 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning our reading at verse 12, reading through verse 15. Paul said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Earlier in the text, in verse 12, Paul said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me. If you're reading the English Standard Version or other versions, instead of the word enabled, it is strengthened me. He strengthened me, or enabled me, or empowered me. That is, he gave the ability that I have to be able to engage in the ministry of this apostleship that I'm part of. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me. Why? Because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. He counted me faithful. He considered. He reckoned. He judged. He esteemed me faithful. The word faithful means trusty, trustworthy, reliable, dependable. He saw him as one who could be counted on. As he lived a faithful life under the law of Moses, even to the point of being in good conscience when he thought he was doing God's will, in persecuting and putting Christians to death, Christ saw that faithfulness and dependability of Paul and considered that he would be faithful, trustworthy, reliable, and dependable to him as a minister of the cause of Christ. So he strengthened him, putting him into that ministry. This is how Christ considered Paul then. He considered him, or esteemed him, counted him, judged him to be faithful, trustworthy, reliable, and dependable. It's of great importance to be judged faithful by Christ Jesus our Lord. Why is it? Because come the day of judgment, we'll either be judged to have been faithful, trustworthy, reliable, and dependable to him and his cause, or we'll be held to a given account for it. In Revelation 2 and in verse 10 to the church at Smyrna, Jesus said, do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Note this, be faithful unto death and I'll give you the crown of life. So why be faithful? For I be counted trustworthy, reliable, and dependable. Because Christians must receive the crown of life based upon their faithfulness, their dependability, their reliability. In Revelation 17, in verse 14, these will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. All who will be victorious with the Lord Jesus Christ are said to be faithful. Without being faithful, dependable, and reliable, if you're called and chosen, it doesn't matter. You must as well be faithful in the end. Thus Paul could write later on his life with the assurance in 2 Timothy 4 in verse 6 in our reading this morning, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Thus he is faithful. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So how about you? If the Lord Jesus Christ looked upon you and your life at this point in time in history, would he count, consider, reckon you to be faithful, to be one worthy of the crown of righteousness which he has laid up and awaiting for you? We have good examples. Good examples of those who've lived faithful lives in times past. We'll note some of those in just a moment. But if we needed an example of faithfulness, we have one in our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. in 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 19. Peter said, therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. There's no one, save or except the Lord Jesus Christ, more faithful than God, more dependable, more reliable, more trustworthy than God Himself. Referred to here as a faithful Creator, one dependable, one who can be counted on. 1 John 1 and in verse 9, in regard to the forgiveness of our sins, if we confess our sins, He, that is God, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful, He's trustworthy, He's reliable. We can depend upon Him as Christians when we sin, to confess our sins, repent of our sins, and He will cleanse us of those sins. We can count on Him to do that. He keeps His word. He's dependable. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and in verse 24, He, referring to God, He who calls you is faithful. Of course, God calls us by the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2 and in verse 14. But He who calls us is faithful. He's reliable. He's dependable. We could look at multitudes of passages that speak about the faithfulness, dependability, reliability of God Himself. Also of our Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation 1 and in verse 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, from the seven spirits which are before His throne. And from Jesus Christ, note this, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. The faithful witness. He's a faithful witness. He's dependable. He's reliable. He's trustworthy. A witness is one who bears witness to testimony. That is, he gives testimony. It's interesting in the word that the word itself is the word from which we get our English word martyr today. Jesus was not a faithful witness because He died. His death was not a witness, was not a testimony. No, it's what He testified to. It's what He witnessed to in His life. And so we are to be faithful witnesses as well for Him. We're to testify to that which He has testified to. He's faithful, true, reliable, and dependable. You can believe what He witnessed, what He testified to. Hebrews 3 and in verse 1. Therefore, all the holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to Him who appointed Him. Christ was faithful to Him who appointed Him. He was faithful to God, trustworthy, reliable, dependable. He carried out the will of God in becoming our great high priest. So He was faithful to Him who appointed Him, as Moses also was faithful in all of his house, in all of God's house and all of God's family, as Moses was faithful, Christ is faithful. Hebrews 2 and in verse 17, therefore in all things He, that is Christ Jesus, had to be made like His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. So if you want an example of faithfulness to follow, think about God, who is faithful, dependable, reliable. Sometimes we look for servicemen to perform some service or function for us, perhaps at our home, or air conditioner has gone out, or perhaps some appliance has gone out. It's hard to find someone who's dependable, someone who is reliable, someone who can be counted on these days to do a job and to do it right. But it's easy for us to find someone who's faithful, dependable, reliable, trustworthy. God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, we can indeed count upon them. We have that kind of example before us. Thus we have no excuse. We know what it means to be faithful. We know what it means to be reliable. Someone who can always be trusted. Someone who can always be counted on. Someone who can always be relied upon to do that which is right. God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So it is possible as well for people to be considered, reckoned, counted, or judged or esteemed by others as faithful. We see that in the Apostle Paul. He was counted faithful. Christ considered him faithful. Christ considered him dependable. Perhaps if you were giving a review of someone who had done a job for you, you might give them a good review and consider them reliable and dependable and pass on their name or their company to others who are looking for the same service to be performed. What about you? If Christ was considering, judging, esteeming, deeming you for service for others, would he consider you to be faithful, one who could be relied upon, one who could be trusted? We can be counted faithful by our Lord Jesus Christ because others were, such as the Apostle Paul. And others we read about, Colossians 1 and in verse 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. To the saints and faithful, not two different groups, but the saints, that is the holy ones, who make up the church in Colossae, were also said to be faithful. They were dependable, they were reliable. If Christ looked upon this church, this congregation, would he call us not only saints or holy ones, but would he refer to us as those who are faithful? In Ephesians 1 and verse 1, Paul begins the epistle the same way. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Not two different groups, but they're saints. Again, they're holy ones and they are faithful, dependable, reliable. Does that mean they were perfect and without sin? No, because when we read about the Colossian brethren and the Ephesian brethren, we see that they did have problems, but they were still considered, deemed, judged to be faithful in Christ Jesus. And we read about others as well in 1 Corinthians 4 and in verse 17. Paul said, "For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every place." My beloved and faithful son in the Lord. Paul considered Timothy faithful. Referred to him here as a faithful son, not a son in the flesh, but one whom he had fathered through the preaching and teaching of the word. But he considered him to be faithful, dependable, reliable, trustworthy. He could always count upon young Timothy. And in Colossians 4 and in verse 7 and following, we read of others who were faithful. Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. A faithful minister. The word minister here simply means a servant. It's the word from which we get the English word deacon. So he's referred to as a beloved brother and faithful minister or faithful servant. That is, in whatever way in which he served or ministered, he was considered to be reliable, dependable. Whatever service that it was that he rendered. So he will tell you all the news about me. Paul could count on him to carry the word to the Colossian brethren. I am sending him to you for this very purpose. For that very purpose, Paul sent Tychicus to the Colossian brethren that he would inform them of his condition, of his state. Paul could count on him. He was trustworthy, reliable, dependable for that very purpose. That he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother. Note that, a faithful and beloved brother in Christ. One brother referring to another brother in Christ as faithful, dependable, loyal, dedicated. One you can count on. You ever know a faithful brother in Christ? I hope you do. I hope you know a lot of them. Hope you know a lot of brothers and sisters in Christ who are said to be faithful in whatever service they render. In whatever ministry they perform, that they can be referred to as faithful. In Galatians 3 and in verse 9, so then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Those who are of faith, the word faith here is our word faithful in our text in 1 Timothy 1 and in verse 12. So then those who are of faith, of course those who are of faith are those who have obeyed the gospel. Under consideration. Those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. Instead of, in contrast, in the book of Galatians, to those who trust in keeping the works of the law of Moses as a means of justification. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So then those who are faithful are blessed with those with believing Abraham. Why? Because Abraham was a man of faith. He was faithful. That's the idea. So then those who are of faith are those who are faithful, just like Abraham was. In 1 Peter 5 and in verse 12, we see one by the name of Silvanus. By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I've written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. By Silvanus, the Apostle Peter writes this epistle. Perhaps Silvanus, the Silvanus under consideration, is Silas. Luke uses his Jewish name Silas in the book of Acts, but Paul and Peter refer to him by his Roman name, Silvanus. And so on this occasion, he is with Peter, and evidently he is Peter's amanuensis. That is, Peter evidently dictates this epistle to Silvanus. So he says, by or through Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I considered him, I've written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God. So Silas on this occasion is referred to as a faithful brother. I can depend upon him. I can rely upon him to write just what I dictate. He is indeed a trustworthy brother in Christ Jesus. And then in Revelation 2 and in verse 13, we read of another who is faithful. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. Jesus speaking to the church at Pergamos. And you hold fast my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was a faithful martyr who was killed among you where Satan dwells. My faithful martyr. Of course, Antipas was a faithful witness. He was a faithful witness. And thus he was martyred because of his witness or his testimony. He was put to death because of his witness or his testimony. Thus he became a martyr because of a faith that he had in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if all of these whom we've just read about could be faithful, dependable, reliable, in whatever service or whatever ministry they performed, we can be faithful as well. And we can be considered as such. And we should be faithful in many things, not just in a few. We should be faithful in watching for the Lord Jesus Christ to come with our reward or our punishment, depending upon how we live. Luke 12 and verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Are you faithful in watching? Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come to the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready. That is, you watch. You be ready for the Lord's coming. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all the people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find in so doing when he comes. We ought to be faithful in watching and waiting for the Lord's coming. We ought to be dependable. We ought to be one who can be relied upon to be ready when he comes because of our faithfulness in watching for his coming. We should also be faithful in using diligently what we have. In Matthew 25 and in verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. The Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful, note that, over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You were faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Usually when one is faithful, dependable, and reliable over small things or some things, usually they'll be faithful, dependable, and reliable over many other things. So just think about it. Are you diligent and faithful over insignificant things? Things that might be insignificant to you and to others? Things that would be referred to as least or small? God will make you ruler over many things. Verse 22 of Matthew 25. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful, dependable, loyal, trustworthy, and reliable servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. If we can't be faithful over that which God has given us to be faithful over, how can we be trusted with eternal life? Some people simply cannot be, because they're not faithful, dependable, and reliable in things that are small and insignificant. In Acts 16 in verse 15, we should be faithful in obeying the Lord. And when she, that is Lydia, and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you've judged me faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded or urged us. If you judge me to be faithful to the Lord. How had Paul and Silas perhaps judged Lydia and her household to be faithful to the Lord? She had rendered obedience to the Lord in baptism. That's how. So she was considered faithful, dependable, trustworthy, and reliable. She could be counted upon to do that which the Lord required of her. So we see that we should be faithful in obeying the Lord. We should also be faithful in little things or insignificant things, if I've mentioned. Luke 16 and verse 10. He who is faithful in what is least or insignificant is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Is that not true? Sometimes people cannot be trusted with perhaps a little bit of your money that you give them for safekeeping. Perhaps it might be someone whom you've relied upon and trusted in times past because perhaps you thought that they were trustworthy, reliable, and dependable based upon someone's recommendation. But you give them a little bit of responsibility, a little bit of something to look over on your behalf, and they mess it all up. Perhaps out of deceit and guile and deception, they've robbed you or wasted that which you put under their service. So they haven't been faithful in that which is least. They haven't been faithful in a little bit of responsibility that you've given to them. So how could you possibly give them more responsibility? Think about it. If you can't be trusted to take care of a little bit of responsibility, no one's going to trust you with a lot of responsibility. So we ought to be faithful in insignificant things and little things so that we'll be able to be counted, deemed, or considered faithful in more significant things in life. We should also be faithful in things of others, things that belong to others. Luke 16 in verse 12. And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? If you've not been faithful in what is another man's, if you've not been dependable and reliable in regard to what belongs to another, God's not going to give you what belongs to you. He can't trust you with it. In 1 Corinthians 4 and in verse 2, Paul said, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful." Steward under consideration in the context was oftentimes in the first century a household manager, sometimes a slave in the household. But the household management had been turned over to the slave. And one of the chief requirements of that slave was to be considered, deemed, judged faithful. If he wasn't faithful, reliable, dependable, and trustworthy, he would not be the steward of the household. That's a requirement. It's a requirement for us as children of God to be counted, deemed, considered faithful, trustworthy, reliable, and dependable. 1 Corinthians 6 and in verse 20. "For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." You were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to God and the Lord Jesus Christ. They purchased you with the blood of Christ. Are you faithful, dependable, and reliable to them? Remember, we ought to be faithful in those things that belong to others. We belong to Christ. We ought to be faithful and dependable because we belong to them. We also ought to be faithful in faith and in works. Galatians 3 and in verse 9 again. "So then, those who are of faith or those who are faithful are blessed with believing Abraham." In Hebrews 11 and verse 8, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going." Why did he go out? Because he was faithful. He was dependable. And everyone who believes like Abraham, everyone who's faithful and dependable like Abraham, will be blessed with believing Abraham. "By faith he dwelt in the land of promises in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." He was faithful. He was dependable. He was a man of faith, and that's the way we ought to be. We ought to be faithful ministers, faithful servants in whatever service, whatever ministry we're called upon to engage in. Ephesians 6 and in verse 21, "By that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you." A faithful minister. Many times people see that word minister as a preacher. He may have been a preacher of the gospel. But the word itself simply carries the idea of a servant. In whatever way he served, whether it was through the preaching of the word or through some other means, he was considered faithful. So whatever service we perform, whatever ministry we perform, whatever actions we carry out for another, we ought to be considered faithful. 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 2, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So Paul told the young evangelist Timothy to teach faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Men whom you can rely upon. Men who are considered, deemed, judged to be reliable, trustworthy, and dedicated and loyal to carry out the will of God. We should be faithful in all things. 1 Timothy 3 and in verse 11. "Likewise their wives, the wives of elders and deacons, must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things." In all things and in all ways is the idea in that word all. In 1 Corinthians 9 and in verse 27, we should even be faithful in life. As Paul said, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified or reprobate or rejected." So I discipline my body. I exercise self-control and I bring my body, my life, into subjection, lest when I go through the furnace of fire, the trial of faith, and come out on the other side, I be disqualified, rejected by God, a reprobate. We should be faithful in everything. We find the Apostle Paul doing because in our text he was considered or counted faithful. Everything that Paul did in relation to our Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to do, since he was counted and considered faithful. So if we follow his example in that which was pleasing and acceptable to the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be faithful in everything we find Paul doing that was right, since he was counted faithful. We'll follow a good example, like the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the importance of being counted, considered faithful, Revelation 2 and verse 10. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. Either we're faithful, dependable, loyal, trustworthy, and reliable to God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're faithful to others in our service or ministry exercised toward them, or we'll be considered unworthy, rejected, disqualified come the day of judgment. The lesson is yours. Are you faithful? A good place to start is in becoming a Christian. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Well, we would consider you faithful if you confess that faith before this audience, submitted to water baptism for the remission of your sins, and become a Christian. So if you want to be considered faithful by the people of this audience, then believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you wanted to be considered faithful before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, do the very same thing. If you want to be considered faithful, dependable, reliable, and trustworthy as a brother or sister in Christ, and you have sin in your life, then repent of that sin, confess that sin, pray to God that He will forgive you of it. You will be considered faithful, dependable, and reliable by God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and other brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, please come as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.